Thank you all for joining. First of all, good morning, everyone. I hope everyone had an enjoyable week. Before I begin this specific shiur, I want to note, as I'm hopefully most of you are aware, that this Sunday we have a very special event here at the Beit Midrash. It's Tishrei in a day. We have a series of shiurim on all the moedim that are coming up in the very near future, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur to Sukkot to Simchat Torah and Shmini Atzeres. Shiurim both in the morning and at night. And for more information on that, you can look at our website, torontotorah.com, Tishrei in a day. And we would love to see all of you there. So thank you so much for that. So with today's shiur, which is also a bit of an introductory shiur, I'm going to take a bit of a different approach than Rabbi Tortira took last week. Right, Tortira last week masterfully reviewed almost all of the concepts that we're going to encounter this year, and very briefly. And I guess the advantage of that is that you can wait until you really get into it, but you're aware of all the different concepts. I'm going to take a bit of a different approach. What I'd like to do today is focus on one big concept, one big idea that I think underlies many of the most important mitzvot in Shemitah. And we're gonna mainly address three different issues. Mitzvah number one, generally the mitzvah of ksira, or the prohibition of harvesting the land on Shavuos. Number two, prohibition against working the land, mitzvah shvitat haaretz, the mitzvah to let the land rest. And number three, the general notion of kedushat shvi'it, which we'll call right now, is the sanctity of the Shemitah year, or the fruits from the land of Israel in Shemitah year. And we're not going to exhaust any of those topics, but I'd like to show that all of them point to one big theme. Okay, in that vein, let's look at source number one on our sheet today. Source number one is from Parshat Mishpatim, which is the first time you learn about Shvi'it in the Torah. And the pasuk says as follows: "B'sheish shanim tizra'at artzecha, you shall plant your land for six years, v'asata tevuata, and you will gather its grain." By the way, just before we go on, does that sort of construct of 6 years, you will do the work, remind you of any other sort of day?
Shabbos.
Yeah, Shabbos, right? And I think it's, again, I want to get back this in the end. It's interesting that in both Shabbos and Shavuos, we don't just talk about what you don't do on the seventh, we talk about what you do on the sixth. I want to get back to that at the end of this year. Okay, so for 6 years, we plant the land and we gather the grain. Bashviyit tishmetena unitashta. This is a very difficult phrase to translate. We'll say on the seventh, you will release it and abandon it. That's how I would translate tishmetena unitashta. And the poor from your nation will eat. The yitram tocha chayat hasadeh. And the extras, leftovers, the animals of the field will eat. Kin ta'asela karmachalazitecha. So shall you do to your vineyards, and your olive fields or olive trees. Beautiful. What does tishmetena mean? All we're told right now that we do during Shemitah year is we do Shemitah to the land, and we abandon it. So it's interesting. If you look at the Mefarshim on the Torah, most of them either translate Tishmetena as relating to not working the land, releasing the land from your work, or the Ibn Ezra says it means releasing people from loans, as we Shemitah Ksafim. However, if you look in source number two, the Rambam sees in this verse a different mitzvah. V'ha-mitzvah ha-kuf la-medalit, says the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot, mitzvah tasei kuf la-medalit, 134, positive mitzvah 134. Ha-mitzvah ha-kuf la-medalit hi she-tzivanu la-havkir kol ma'ash tatzmiach ha-aref b'shnat ha-shmitah. What is the mitzvah according to the Rambam? To declare everything that the land produces or sprouts in the year of Shemitah ownerless. To declare it ownerless. V'hevkir tzimchayat matenu kulam l'chol adam. And declaring ownerless what the land produces to all people. So the Rambam sees in this mitzvah and requirement to say whatever your land happens to produce is not yours. So that here's what's interesting, and here's what I want to – here's my main argument, okay? You could have seen this as a separate mitzvah from what we generally associate with Shemitah. When we think about Shemitah, what do we generally think about? We think about not working the land. But the other Mefarshim we're talking about, you know, not planting, not plowing, that's what we think about. And now we have another mitzvah, which is sort of unrelated, which says, and whatever fruits the land happens to grow, say that they're not really yours. Let anybody who wants take them. What I'd like to argue is that that's not the case. That this mitzvah of declaring all the fruits ownerless is really the fundamental idea in Shemitah, and it relates to all the other mitzvot as well. And if you look at source number 3, I'm giving away the punchline at the beginning, so hopefully it'll be more clear this way. Rav Shaul Yisraeli, Eretz Chemda, asked this question himself. Let's take a look at source number 3. Yesh lachkor b'mitzvah aseh zeh. So he's actually referring to b'shavta aretz, which we'll get to later, but he relates it to all the different mitzvot in Shemitah in this piece. We should ask regarding this positive commandment of b'shavta aretz. What is the explanation of this positive mitzvah that you violate by working the land during the Shemitah year? Is the point that the main idea of the mitzvah is that no work should be done to the land, and by doing work, you are violating the idea of not working. Like we find in regard to the idea, as we'll actually relate to later, of letting one's animal rest on Shabbat. The idea of not, your animal cannot work for you on Shabbos, that means they can't do work. Oh, Shapirushu Shetishbot Hasadeh Mibalut Ha'adam. That the land is resting from human ownership. It's not about the work. It's about your assumption of ownership over the land. That's what the real mitzvah is. But this is expressed, this notion of shvita mibalot ha'adam, resting from the ownership or of human ownership, is expressed through not doing work. But it's not that the work is inherently prohibited. It's that the work demonstrates a person's ownership over the land. That by working the land as I see fit, I am showing that I own the land. And that's the problem on Shemitah. So the argument is going to be, and he takes the latter like option, in case you were wondering, he goes with the second option, that many of the mitzvot actually relate to the second idea. To begin, let's take a look at source number 4, which is the primary parak in the Torah dealing with the laws of Shemitah. It's in Parshat Bahar at the very beginning. And the Torah says as follows. Vayikra parak hafei, pasuk aleph. Vaydaber Hashem l'Moshe b'har Sinai l'emor. God spoke to Moshe on Har Sinai. Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amar talehem k'devol aretz. Speak to b'nei Yisrael and say to them, when you come into the land, Asher nonin etein lachem, that I'm giving to you, v'shavta aretz, and the land will rest Shabbat l'Hashem. The land will rest a Shabbat to God. Okay, we're going to get back to the idea of Shabbat aretz later. I think it's important to note that is the heading, as Chaim actually pointed out when we learned this in Seder. The heading, the introductory to all of the next things we're going to say is this idea of Shabbat Ha'aretz. The land is resting.
Is this a Chetze Gavra type of discussion?
Okay, so that's what we're going to get to. The Chetze Gavra type of discussion. What does that mean? But once you're raising it, what do you mean by Chetze, Zev?
Well, the Chetze of the land has a certain status during that year. The fact that the Gavra is doing or not doing something, that's a Totsa'ah. It's not the primary aspect of it.
Good. I think I'm going to adjust that a bit. But yeah, we're going to definitely go there. That's 100% where we're going. Right? Zev notes that it's the land that is resting. It's not necessarily about what you do. It's about how you relate, I'll say, to the land. Your approach to the land. That's the idea of Shemitah. Okay, that is the heading to everything we're going to say. Then we get to our pasuk again. For 6 years you plant your field. For 6 years you prune your vineyards. And you will gather its grain. On the seventh year, there will be a Shabbat for the land. Shabbat LaHashem, a Shabbat to God. So this is important to notice. First things you can't do are planting and pruning the vineyard. Then we get to Pasuk Hey, and Pasuk Hey becomes a bit complicated. At Tzviach Kitzircha Lo Titzor, Tzviach is a difficult word to translate. JPS says after growth. What it means for our purposes is the produce the land produces sort of by itself without your intervention. That the things that just grow. So don't harvest those things. Don't harvest
To get you.
We'll do that.
Around on the weekend.
And don't harvest the grapes of your vineyard. Shnacha baton yal aret. So we'll get to Nizirecha also. I didn't translate that perfectly. Nizirecha, Rashi comes to the word Nizir, which means something that you separate from. We'll get to it in just a bit. So there's four things the Torah mentions. The Torah mentions Zriya and Zemira, okay, planting and pruning. And then it mentions harvesting and Bitsira, which is the type of harvesting that you do when you pick the grapes off the vineyard. At first glance, they seem like they're the same. You can't do any of them. So just like you can't plant and you can't, prune the vineyard, you also can't gather anything. You can't take the fruits from the land. You can't take the fruits from the vineyard. As we'll see, this is a bit complicated because the question is, then what in the world are we going to eat? Well, that is the question the Jews actually ask Moshe. So we'll get to that in a minute. But then we have the following pasuk. And the Shabbat of the land will be for you to eat. So the question you ask here is, wait a minute, what exactly are we eating? If you can't harvest anything and you can't plant the land, what food are you eating from Shabbat Aretz? Right, this is a problem that Torah Shabbat Peh and Mefarshim will have to address. Okay, so it's going to be for you and also for you and for your servants and for your maidservants, your workers and your residents, Hagrimah, who live with you. Why do you think, just at this point, why does the Torah mention, what's the importance of the mentioning the maidservant and the servants and the workers? Why is that even important? Going back on what we suggested before. Why mention all these other people in terms of who is allowed to eat shviyah?
Back to the Shabbos discussion.
The Shabbos discussion? Okay.
Mention all these things about Shabbos too, so that's the link again.
So on Shabbos, you're saying, well, how does it relate to Shabbos? Then on Shabbos, we also mentioned those people.
We have all those people. It's that idea of
this is a good point. This is a good point. So there's a Shabbat connection. I think another point that you can make is it's about, again, the ownership idea. The ownership idea. The point is it's not specifically yours. Usually, when you harvest your grain, you don't have to necessarily think immediately about all these people. You may have a mitzvah of tzedakah, but you don't need to think about everybody. And say that it's for them also. But in Shemitah year, you have to leave it for them too. And even for the animals, and animals in your land, the wild animals, the tame animals, the domesticated animals, they get the grain. That is what the Torah tells us about Shemitah. So we have this question. We have this question. What are we eating during Shemitah year? What's the la'ochla? Like, where does this come from? And as I mentioned in Source 5, the Jews asked this question to Moshe. What are we going to eat during Shemitah year, the seventh year? We can't plant or gather our grain. Ooh, we can't gather our grain. Again, seems like you can't even take the produce of the land. So this is the subject of a dispute in the Sifra between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. So Sifra says in source number 6, Manocha Bashana Hashmiyid, Heimon is Ravalona Sof Etivuatenu. What are we going to eat in the 8th year? We cannot plant or gather our grain. It means Zorem Ma'anu Osvein. Well, if you can't plant, why even mention that you can't gather the grain? What are you gathering if you're not planting? Amar Rabbi Akiva, Mikan Samchu Chachamim Al Hasfichim Sheyu Asrim Bashviyid. So the Rabbi Akiva says, you're right, Ein Hachanami. This is why the rabbi said that you can't eat the growth of the land during Shemitah. The word Samchu Chachamim is interesting. From the way the Chachamim respond in this Sifra to Rabbi Akiva, it sounds like you really can't harvest anything. That's what it means. You can't harvest the land. What you're going to eat, I'm really not sure. I don't know what Rabbi Akiva does with Le'ochla. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure what he thinks about the eating part of it. Maybe you'll get fruits from elsewhere, but it sounds like Rabbi Akiva, the way that at least the Chachamim understand him, says you can't harvest at all. It is a inherent prohibition to harvest. It is an avoda which is prohibited. The Chachamim respond. The Chachamim ain't svichim asrim divrei Torah. No, that's rabbinic. The idea, as we'll discuss later in the year, that even the things that are produced during Shemitah year that you don't cultivate, is that those things are prohibited. That's a rabbinic law. It's not a biblical law. Meaning, they seems like they understood Rabbi Akiva thought it was biblical. And came lo and nemar hey lo nizrav lo nesof amr lo nizrav umasha ana osvim ein machnis nakiyum. What? Why did they say we can't plant and can't gather? You're allowed biblically to gather the fruits, but you can't bring them into your house and sustain them there. You can't act as you normally would with your produce. You can't bring them inside. Amrit lanu biaru. And then even when you do bring them inside, eventually get rid of them. What are we going to eat after we get rid of them? Okay, this relates to the idea of bior, which we'll discuss also later. The idea that you have to at some point rid your house from the produce of Shemitah year. Either way, the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva have a fundamental argument here about the nature of Isor Ketzira, this prohibition against harvesting the fruits during Shemitah. Rabbi Akiva seems to think that it is an inherent prohibition. It applies generally. You can't harvest fruits of the land during Shemitah. The Chachamim think otherwise. And that brings us to source number 7, which is probably the most important Maamar Chazal on Ketzira during Shviit. Says the Sifra on source number 7. Etzviya Ketzircha lo tektzor mikan. So first we have an echo of Rabbi Akiva. Mikan samchu chachamim asvichim shiyu asrim bashviit. That the sages relied on this idea of Tzviya Ketzircha, that you can't harvest the growth of the land. But it's a rabbinic idea. It's not a biblical idea. And that's what the interpretation, the continuation of this sifra says. In vain nizirecha lo tzitzor. You can't harvest in vain nizirecha. Min hashamor ba'aretz ein atabotzer. You can't pick that which is guarded in the land. The things that you guard, that you protect, that you exert your ownership over, that you cannot harvest. Avalata botzer min hamufkar. You can harvest from that which you declare ownerless. The things, the fruits that you leave out in the field and don't guard, that you leave for everyone to take, that is yours for the taking. It is not a prohibition across the board. It is only a prohibition if you do it min hashamor. We'll have to define that in just a minute. And then you continue. You can't pick normally. You can't harvest normally. There's a whole Mishnah in Shavuot. Well, we'll get to this later in the year also. That you have to change the way that you harvest the land during Shemitah year. So at this point, what have we seen about Tzira? According to the Chachamim, which is how we follow, that we had a prohibition in the Torah that said, don't harvest your land. But that the Ketzira is not prohibited in and of itself. It is prohibited if you do it in a way, as we'll see, which demonstrates that you are exerting your ownership over the produce. It's about showing that this produce is not yours. That's what we see from this midrash. How does that relate to how you should practically act toward your fruits? This is the discussion of a subject of discussion of Rishonim who argue about how exactly to interpret this chazal. We start with source number 8, and that is Tosfon Rosh Hashanah. What I'm going to argue is that there's two ways to look at this, which I think everyone agrees that Tzira is really about exerting ownership. The question is, what is the operative prohibition? Tosfos seems to indicate that there is Tzira means that there is a dispensation to gather the fruit. There's the dispensation to gather some of the fruit comes because you need to eat, and there is a heter achila. However, that dispensation is limited or is only unlocked if you do what you're supposed to do, if you're matkir. If you declare the fruit ownerless, that is when the Torah says you can eat the fruit. If you don't do that, you don't have the ability to eat the fruit. And that's what he says here in source number 8. The katir shel shviyin hayotzei lemotzei shviyin. Dafka ki orchei asur l'ktsor. Number one, it's only prohibited to harvest if you do it normally. You're allowed to harvest if you do it in a different way. You can't use the normal harvesting implement that you usually use. And we say in the Mishnah and Shvius in Hadar 8, Toso says, even if you do declare the fruit ownerless, you still can't harvest it normally. Biblically, there's two things that we're required to do when we harvest the field on Shvius, according to Tosos. We have to change the way that we do it, and previously, we have to declare the fruit ownerless. Either one of these, if you don't do them, you can't eat the fruit. They're both biblically necessary. If you change the way that you do it and declare it ownerless, okay? Umashumar afilu shalokadai batira nami yasar, says Toso, if you guard the fruit during Shviyat, if you put up a fence around your produce during Shviyat, you can't harvest it at all. It becomes prohibited to eat. So for Tosfos, this there's a dispensation to eat, but that dispensation is predicated upon your approach to the fruits. The minute that you say, these fruits are mine, sort of ironically, they are no longer yours. Not even to eat them. They become prohibited once you say that they're yours. And even if you are mocker them, you still need to change the way that you harvest them. So the harvesting and the eating are both changing shviyin. If you look, however, not most mefarshim do not agree with Tosfos. They read this chazal of how you have to be harvest differently. Take a look at Rashi in source number 9. At Sefia Ketzercha. Even if you didn't plant it, and it sprouts from the seeds that fell when you harvested it in the previous year. Don't harvest doesn't mean don't harvest. It means don't exert your ownership. Don't grab it like you would other harvest, ela hefker yeh lakol. It should be hefker. That's what it means. Don't harvest it in a way that shows it's yours. Nizircha, shenzarte fifrash me adam mehem, velo hefkar tam. Nizircha means the things that you weren't mafkir. Nizircha means the things that you guarded, the things that you put a fence around. Lo titzor otam encha botzer, el min hamofkar. Don't harvest those, rather harvest min hamufka, and v'ashet hashabat ta'aretz af apisha asartim alecha lo ba'achila v'lo ba'na asartim. Even though I said you can't harvest normally. It doesn't mean that you can't eat the fruits of Shvi'it. You're allowed to eat them. There's no prohibition to eat them at all. There's no prohibition to eat Perot Shvi'it or to have benefit from them. Don't act like the owner of the produce. You're allowed to eat it. What I'm arguing is, unlike Tosfot, who thinks that this notion of harvesting in an abnormal way is necessary for the ability to eat the produce, Rashi thinks there is no prohibition against eating Perot Shvi'it, biblically. There is none at all. All the prohibition is saying is that you need to not act like you are not the owner of the produce. That is the nature of the prohibition. If you look in source number 11, the Sefer Chinuch, we'll get to the Ramban in a bit. The Sefer Chinuch makes this clear. He says, according to Rashi, both on the Torah and in Shas, there is no prohibition against eating Perot Shvi'it, even if you don't, are not mafker them. Even if you don't declare them ownerless, even if you violate that principle and you do guard them, the Perot themselves don't become prohibited. The point is, as the Ravan said, it can't be, we'll see in source 11, it can't be nizircha. It can't be your produce. That's the point. You can't harvest it as if it was yours. You have to harvest it as if it is hefker. Okay? And that's the Ravan here in source number 11. And if you look at the Ravan and the Rosh, they take it a step further. The idea is, I just want to paraphrase them because we're running a bit slow here. The idea is, the whole prohibition against harvesting is don't guard them, biblically. That's what it means. Don't guard them as if they are yours. The Ramban, the Rosh think, the Ramban, that there is no prohibition against, biblically, against, there's no requirement to change the way that you harvest them, even if you are not mafkir. And the Rosh says in source number 12, if you are mafkir, if you actually declare the fruits ownerless, if you say these fruits are ownerless, you can do whatever you want. Look at this, the Rosh in source number 12. The whole ma das rina hacha hainu min ha-mishumar, aval min ha-mafkar shari ki orche. Everything the Mishnah says you can't do, all the changes you need to make, all assume you're harvesting from the mishumar, from that which is guarded. If you are mafkir, you could do whatever you want, and you can harvest normally. So I guess to sort of contrast, to bring this all together, to contrast the Rosh and Tosfot is the most restrictive. Tosfot thinks the whole idea of eating is predicated upon the assumption that you are mafkir, and in addition to that, you also need to change the way you harvest the field. Contrast that with the Rosh, who says there is no prohibition against eating, number one. Number two, even the changes that you make to the way that you harvest only apply when you don't declare them ownerless. Once you say the pears are not mine, it's not mufkar, they're not guarded, they're outside in the field, they're available to everyone, you can do whatever you want. So to focus on the Rosh for a second, why should that be, right? Why should it be that if I'm mafkar them, I can just do whatever I want? The answer is, clearly according to the Rosh, the whole notion of tzirah during Shvi'it is simply to show that you can't exert complete ownership. Even just letting everybody access it is enough. That's all you need. It's not even about ketzirah. It's not even about the way you harvest it. It's only about the way that you relate to it, according to the Rosh, as seen in source number 12. So sort of putting this to a discussion to this part, the first part of discussion to a close, I want to look at the Rambam in source 13. Look at the Rambam in source 13. There is something that stands out to you. He doesn't differentiate between Mufkar and Mishumar at all. The Rambam says in source 13, Kol shetotzia aretz b'shana ha-shviyet, b'yemin azer shenofa ba-mikorem shviyet, b'yemin ha-yikorem shenitzer, mikorem l'chazru v'asu. All the things the land produces in the seventh year, whether it's the seed that falls from before the Shvi'it, or the roots that were harvested and then they were dropped and then they produce. Whether it's the grasses or the vegetables that grow by themselves, hakol mutar la'ochlo min ha-Torah, you're allowed to eat all of it. Even a field which is prepared and worked during Shviyit, and its fruits sprout, you can still eat those too. Even if you violate the prohibition and you do work on Shviyit in some fashion, you can still eat the fruits. You shouldn't harvest normally. If you harvest normally, you get lashes. What does harvesting normally mean? If you harvest the whole field, the quantity, you shouldn't harvest all of it. You should harvest a little at a time. But if you do the whole thing and you put it in a pile and you thresh it, that's a prohibition. Here's what's interesting about the Rambam. Two things. Until now, we've seen two different ideas. There's the idea of how you do it and that you're mafkir it. The Rambam doesn't mention that you're mafkir at all in this halacha. It's not here. There's no distinction between whether you are mafkir it or not. Number two, this idea of piling it up is very interesting. Right? That actually doesn't relate to the physical activity that you do when you take the sickle and harvest the fruits. That has to do with what you do after you harvest the fruits. And yet you still can get lashes for harvesting inappropriately by putting it in a pile. Why? So Rishon Yisrael here in source number 14 suggests that for the Rambam, there is no, the way the Rambam refers to the Sifra, about the distinction between Minha Mufkar and Minha Shamor, is that it doesn't relate to whether the fruits are fenced in or not. What it means is you can't harvest it in the way that you would when you harvest guarded in fruits. It's a way of harvesting, a way of approaching. It's your approach to the harvest. That's the only distinction, right? I'll just read the bold here in source number 14. Shabatzira kederech shebotrim minah meshumar hi asur me'atorah. The picking that the normal way of picking from shumishumar, from the guarded fruit, that is prohibited. But if you do it abnormally, like you would from the mufkar, when it's not yours, then it's permissible. You can't harvest the way that you would usually would, as if it were guarded. And that's how he knows that you have to change the way that you do it. Therefore, he argues, even if you pile it up after you harvested it. You're not harvesting anymore. You've already finished that step. That's still part of this prohibition. Why? Because by piling it up, what are you showing? That it's yours. And that's what's prohibited. Again, so I think there are a number of different ways of approaching this notion, but what you see clearly from Sira, which to summarize this first part of our discussion is, the Torah sounds like you can't harvest at all. That's what you would have thought. You can't plant, you can't prune, you can't harvest. But Torah Shabbat Pen and the Farshim all come in and suggest that that's not true. And in fact, according to the Rosh, you can harvest. It's not about harvesting at all. It's only about being mafkir, biblically. So there are different approaches to how exactly this idea of not demonstrating ownership and harvesting interrelate, but it seems that everybody agrees that this notion of Katsira all is about expressing that ownership. That is the first part of the discussion. If you look in the Evan Ezra in source 15, I put this, he simply says, look at the end of the source, Shnat Shabbaton, Hatam ki Shnat Shabbaton hi la'aretz, Batam she'aret ena b'rishacha b'shana hazot. The end of the sentence, which says you can't harvest, is because it's a Shnat Shabbaton. In what sense is it a Shabbaton? Not what I would have thought. Shnat Shabbaton should mean you can't work it. No. Evan Ezra says Shnat Shabbaton means it's not yours. It's not b'rishacha. It's not under your jurisdiction. That's what Shabbaton means. Which leads us to our next discussion, the mitzvah of Shidat Aretz, and another Evan Ezra. But before we get to that, I want to pose the following question. Say you are a landowner during Shviyit, and you ask someone else to work the field for you. And another person comes and works the field for you, and you have done nothing, you do no work on it at all. Who violates Avodat Shviyit? Who is in the wrong? It's your field, but you do nothing. You ask someone else to work for you.
Wouldn't it be Shliach Lidvar Avera, not Shliach Lidvar Avera?
Rihanna says Shliach Lidvar Avera. That is interesting. So to me, that assumes that the Avera is working the land.
Yeah.
And you're sending someone to work the land. Does anyone... So the one way to object to that would be to raise what Zev raised before. Meaning that it's, you know, the classical Brisker Chetzagavra Hakira. Maybe it's not about the working the land. It's about the land being worked. But there's an additional point that needs to be made in order for that to be relevant, which is when we say that the land can't be worked, who is responsible that the land, that their land can't be worked? The assumption would have to be that the owner of the land is the one who has to ensure that their land is not worked during Shviyah. There's a unique role that the owner of the land plays during Shviyah, which is interesting. Well, why is the land owner of the land any different than anyone else? The Torah says don't work during Shviyah. Rabbi Yarash should be right. However, many Mefarshim, not all, but many Mefarshim understand that indeed both of them would be liable. Both the person who works and the owner would be liable because it's not, and the Chazonish says this explicitly, look in the Chazonish, Parakut Beis, it's not Shlichus, it's not Shlich Varavera, it's that you can't participate in your land being worked. It's an Avera to have your land worked, whether you do it or someone else. Take a look at source number 16 and the Eben Ezra, Parakut Beis Pasuk Bet. B'shavtara tzabat l'Hashem mitzvah Yisraeli shelo yazo ger lizroa shnat ha-shabbat. Is a mitzvah upon a Jew to not let a resident, a ger, work the land during Shemitah. Kasher lo nazbenu l'asom malacha b'shabbat. Just like we don't let the resident do work on Shabbat. Ki hu b'reshutenu, if they are in our jurisdiction. The Eben Ezra compares Shabbat and Shviyit in that you have a responsibility to make sure work isn't done. He does it in a unique way. But this actually relates to source number 17. Take a look at the Gemara in source number 17, which is the Sefer Brazara, Daf Chavav, Amud Aleph. Rav Huna zavin ahi parlo b'gachavim. Rav Huna bought a cow from an idol worshiper. Now that is a problem, or sold a cow, I'm sorry. He sold the cow to an idol worshiper. The Gemara here thinks that's a problem because we're afraid that you, if you will let the, we actually discussed it last year, for those who remember, when we talked about the notion of being responsible when you try out an item. The Gemara says there's a problem because what will happen, maybe the non-Jew will, before they decide to buy it, want to check out the animal and try it out, and then they'll work with the animal on Shabbos. And if they work with the animal on Shabbos while it's still yours, that's a problem. Shvitah behemta. Okay? So you can't, you're not supposed to sell animals to an idol worshiper, yet Rav Huna did it. Amar Chista, my time of Amar Hachi. Rav Chista said, how could you do this? Why'd you do that? Amar Lay, Emo Shchita's on. I said, oh, he's not going to work with the animal. He's going to slaughter it. It's for meat. I'm selling him meat. I'm not selling him an animal. I don't have to worry about it. And if he happens to go work with it, okay, that's not my fault. I assumed he was going to slaughter it. When we not say Madamina Kiagana, how do you know you say such a thing that essentially when you give someone the opportunity to do an Avera with your money or with your possessions, that you can say if there's a reasonable possibility that they won't do that Avera, that's okay, right? It's not either a problem or the like. Kiagana, that's not Bitshami or Rim, Loyim Horadam Paraha Kharashabash Bi. Bitshami says prison should not sell a plowing cow during Shviyat. Uveitel Matirim, Beitel says you can. Meneshia Choloshokta, you can sell cows during Shemitah year because who says they're going to work with the cow? Maybe they'll eat it. Maybe it depends who you sell it to. I guess if you sell it to a vegetarian or I don't know. But we can assume they're going to eat it, right? Because everybody loves meat. Great. So it's okay. He responds, Amar Le Abaye. Amar Rava, rather. Umi Dami? Is that comparable? Hatam in Adam Mitzubash Pitab Bam Tobash Viyay. On Shabbat, it's not just that you're enabling someone else to do an Avera with your animal. It's your Avera. Your animal cannot work on Shabbat. on Shviyeh, if I sell my cow to another person and they use the cow, so they're doing an Avera, I'm participating in the Avera. That's not the way at least most of Farshim interpret this Gemara. That's not as stringent. It's not my Avera, so I don't have to be as worried about what they're going to do with it. If there's a reasonable possibility they won't sin, it's okay. Ah, Amrle Abaye, V'chal Hechadza Adam Mitzuvah Asur. Is it really true? Are you saying that if it was your Avera, it would be prohibited? V'hare Sadeh, what about a field? De Adam Mitzuvah Ashvitat Sadehu, V'ashviyet, a person is commanded regarding the resting of their land during Shemitah year. B'tzah, B'tzham Yarmit, Mo'yim Chor Adam Sadeh Nir V'ashviyet, B'tzham, I says, you can't sell a land which is fallow during Shviyat, Beitel Matirei. Beitel says you can. Meishiachol Avira. He's going to leave it fallow. What does the conclusion of the Gemara indicate? This question of Abaye. What does it sound like? What is the prohibition of Shvitat Aratz according to Abaye? Think about it. The logic is you're telling me that every time because you're Mitzuvah Shvitat Behemto, because I can't let my animal work on Shabbat, I can sell to someone else. What do you mean? You can sell, according to Beit Hillel, your field on Shviyeh. Doesn't it seem to indicate that we have a mitzvah not to let other people work the land during Shviyeh? Shvitat Sadehu. That it's not just that I can't work the land, they can't work the land. Take a look at source number 18. Rashi, Adam, Mitzvah, Shvitat Sadehu, Shenat Shabbaton Yel Aretz. The Torah says the Aretz has to rest. That's your problem, even if you're not doing the work. Tosfos Avodah Zarah says similar. Frech v'harei sadeh d'adam mitzuveh ashvitat sadehu ukeshihu b'ya Yisrael acher yish bo isur deraisa im zara bo Yisrael b'talina latira. Okay. It reads a little bit differently. The Tosfos Rid, just to sort of summarize it, Tosfos Rid doesn't understand this Gemara. He doesn't understand. Take a look at source number 20. Kashali tuva mi dami tivor de shvita today b'shviyah b'tivor de shvita b'hemto b'shavai. Can you compare shvita today b'shvita b'hemto tivor de shvita today b'shviyah eno ela shelo yasehu malacha b'sadeyu? What does shvita today mean? It means you can do malacha in your field. Avali miskir sadeyu v'chashara shviyah assumes the Torah read in this question. If you rent your field to someone who doesn't keep the laws of shmita, eno over amaskir. The renter isn't over any avera. The aimbo on Michel may there. It's just in the evil to take Michel. Lahasra Sadeh Gala Shviyah aimbo is a Torah claw. There's no problem. Again, in this question, Tosfos read. There's no problem renting your field out to a non-Jew. Loading stop Yisrael Ashvita Karka Elashlo Yasu Bahem Milacha. Avashvita Tadeh Shibahento Bashabat Bein Ayadoa de Gayim Asrma Torah. Dahika Mazur Kala, Mayan Yosha Khavachamarha. Again, so the point is you can't let anybody do work with your animal on Shabbat. But you can, someone else works your field on Shviyeh, that's not a problem. And he goes on and gives a bunch of different proofs to this. I don't find them particularly compelling. But then he gets the answer. The Yesh Lomar, the Bishvita Karka Hazar B'Shviyeh. The Pir Shamora. The answer is no. We are commanded to make the land rest. The land rest. It's a Chetza Zev. It's the Chetza Sakarka. No, in Achanami, I'm wrong. You are forbidden biblically to rent your house or your field to a non-Jew on Shviyeh. That is the prohibition. So we have on the record here, Tosfos Reid saying that in the Gemara, and the simple explanation of the Gemara is that there is a prohibition not just for me not to work the land, but to not let other people work my land as the owner of the land. Now, there are different ways that you could have looked at this. You could have suggested that the prohibition is simply a prohibition on malacha. It is a regular working prohibition, like being prohibited on Shabbat. But the point is that the land can't do the work. The subject is the land. And who else is going to be responsible but the owner? Just sort of like, it doesn't seem right otherwise. Like, but or maybe you could even argue, like the Evan Ezra sounds like, that we're all required to stop anybody from working any land on Shviyeh. And that's what Shviyeh today means. The Minchas Chinuch in source number 21 assumes that this is a given. Everybody agrees that an owner of a field cannot let anyone work on their field during Shviyeh. regardless of who they are, whether it's a non-Jew, whether it's a Jew, doesn't matter. However, if you look at the Rambam in source number 22, he never mentions this idea explicitly. He never mentions the notion that you can't have someone else work for you on Shviyeh, at least in terms of Shvitah Ba'aretz. He mentions, look at source number 2 quickly, mitzvah say this sport may have without Aretz. It's a mitzvah to rest from working the land. The prohibition is to rest from working the land. Anyone who does the work from the work of the land, or the trees, doesn't mention anyone who does the work. If you do the work, you violate the prohibition. Doesn't mention this notion of a person owning the land being violating it if someone else's work. He puts them all together, all the different formulations. Doesn't differentiate between zmira or katsira or batsira, harvesting, planting, just says the person who does the work. So it's kind of interesting. It's not necessarily true that everybody agrees to it. Be that as it may, the notion that this person who owns the land will be responsible for the work of others can be interpreted, again, toward our yisod. If the point is that I can't exert ownership over my land during Shviyeh, that I have to have the approach that it's not mine, that if I ask someone else to do the work for me, aren't I also exerting ownership over the land? Whether I do the work or someone else does the work, there's no greater, and this is what Rishal Yisraeli again says in source number 23, there's no greater demonstration of ownership than hiring someone to work on your property. And also, so then that's why you are over, even if you're not doing the work. And based on this, if this is the notion behind the idea of Aretz, he has actually a kula, which is operative today and to some degree. Shluchei Beistin, there's a Tosefta which indicates that the messengers, the workers of Beistin, can do work during Shviyeh. Now, if you take an Eben Ezra approach to this, at least a simple explanation, then this is hard to understand. If it's simply a chetza iser, if the point is that I can't let the land be done, work be done to the land, then why does it matter whether a basin does it or not? However, if you assume that the problem is exerting ownership over the land, if basin, who don't own the land, were not exerting any ownership or representatives of others work the land, then that's not the same prohibition. Take a look at source number 23. The Neitzi Bazeh Gam Mishlam Sliko Shashvita Aretz in a mitzvah say, you can let Beis Din work in Hefker land during Shviyeh. When they take the peros and they give it out to everybody. There's no demonstration of ownership. He goes as far to say this is not just relevant to the asay of the Shvita Aretz, but the low sasay as well. Even the planting and the pruning and the seeding, all that is also mutter if it's in a hefker field by Beis Din. Based on this. Now, this is not simple, and this we'll have to discuss at some point the heter, this is a theorem we use during Shmita year. But the point he's making is pretty extraordinary, meaning we saw that Katsira, all the Rishonim, suggested that Katsira is not about Katsira per se, but about Katsira b'derech ba'alut. And that's what Katsira is about. And different interpretation of what that means. He's saying it applies to all the Avodah Aretz, that everybody can't do it that way. So I think we see even from Shvita Aretz itself, there's this notion of the prohibition being about exerting ownership over the land. Finally, we get to the last topic I want to cover for today. And again, all these can be covered more exhaustively, but I hope I'm getting to a general theme, which I want to flesh out at the end. And that is Geder Kedushat Shviyeh. So we know there's this notion called that Kedushat Shviyeh, which we generally translate as sanctity of the fruits of Shmita. But if I asked you, in what sense are the fruits of Shmita holy? What would you say? When we generally use the concept of kadosh, that something is kadosh, what do we mean?
Set aside.
Okay, so Chaim's going for the less exciting set aside point. More general. Okay, fair. What do we mean when we say that Beit HaMikdash is kadosh? Or that, that hekdesh, an animal is hekdesh. What do we mean by that? Or that kadosh is kodesh Yisrael la'ashem reshit tevuato. So
it also means set aside
generally. It is a general category, but I think it also means set aside for a particular reason.
Correct.
Meaning something for the purpose of elevating or related to the mikdash, something associated with godliness, right? Associated
but
with
it
God,
can also
God, use the mikdash for God, Israel. Yeah. Hi, we could get into, I just want to move a little quickly here. There is another kind of Kodesh. Actually, Chaim, help me out. What is the other type of Kodesh that has nothing to do with this at all? The word Kodosh. What else do you
use? You mean like Desha?
Desha, right? So that would be the paradigmatic example of a non-holy usage of the word Kodesh. In that sense, someone who allows himself to be used for non-holy purposes, right? Peng Tikdash Hamleyav Hazera Shar Tizra. Kulayim is called Kodesh. And it's not holy. What about Shemitah?
Unholy.
Unholy, exactly. So what about Shemitah? What about Shviyeh? In what sense is Shviyeh Kadosh?
It's Usher, right?
What is that? It's Usher?
Yeah, like Kiddushin sets up a system where everybody else is.
Okay, that's like a good Kiddushin thing. So what things can't... Okay, so there are certain... Elias, we'll see. There are certain things that we can't do with Perot Shviyeh. Okay. So essentially, we have two extremes on the Kodesh plane. Kodesh can mean holy in the sense that people usually mean associated with God, used in the service in the Mikdash, in the temple. Kodesh sometimes means that. Kodesh sometimes means not that at all. Prohibited. Off limits. You can't touch it. It's set aside. Shviyeh, it sounds like it's somewhere in the middle. Take a look at source number 24. The Mincha Chinuch here, I'll just read it outside. The Mincha Chinuch has a brief summary of what Kedushat Shviyeh means practically, right? It means that there's certain things you need to do to the peros, and you can't do to the peros. You need to eat it. You can't do business with it. You can't exhaust it abnormally. You can't burn it. If you sell it, and this is really interesting, the money becomes Kodesh as well. The money also has all those laws applied to it. So there are a number of things that you can't do and you can do, you must do with Shemitah. Okay. You can't destroy it. Beautiful. Take a look at source number 25. Here, the Mishnah compares Shviyeh to Meiser. Masnisin, Shviyeh nitna la'achil la'ashil la'asich la'luchal kol davar sh'darko la'achol v'lasot davar sh'darko la'asich. You can eat Shviyeh, you can drink it. It's not prohibited, like Chaim, right? You can anoint yourself with it. You can eat it if it's normally eating. La'asot davar sh'darko la'asich. You can anoint with it if it's normally used for anointing. L'yasach yayin v'chometz. Don't anoint yourself with wine and vinegar, because wine and vinegar are not usually used for anointing, although if someone wants to try, they can let me know how that goes. Vasach et hashemem, but use anoint oil, because that is normal. Good. Nechem b'tshuva u'b'meiser sheni. The same is the true with meiser sheni and truma. So Shviyeh has all these laws, which also happen to apply to truma and meiser sheni. Now, when we say truma and meiser sheni are kodesh, we mean Kodesh, right? There's machlokas here and there in the Rabbanon about whether they're really yours or not. We bring Meiser Sheni to Yerushalayim to specifically eat it there. Truma must be eaten by the Kohanim. You can't be metame it. What about Shviyeh? The Mishnah here says that in some sense, Kameh and Shviyeh shenit melahalakaner. You can use Shviyeh to burn a candle. So there is a difference. One question that's not exactly 100% clear is there the same biblical prohibition against making Shviyeh impure? Or are there other things that we can't do to Shviyeh? Take a look at the Gemara here in the Yerushalmi. In Sachin Shemen Shviyeh B'Merchatz, you can't anoint yourself with Shviyeh oil in a bathhouse. But you have to anoint yourself outside the bathhouse and then go inside. Halacha number one. Halacha number two. You can't burn, you use oil for burning in shul or the base medrash because of bizyon kodshim. Mipnei bizyon kodshim. Because you are humiliating a holy object. What does that relate to? Why can't I go into a bathhouse and anoint myself with shvias oil? Is it because of bizyon kodshim that shvias is called kodesh? So some of us say no. Look at the Rosh Cirillo. Look at the Aruch HaShulchan Asir in source number, or actually not in that parak in Simachaf valid. They say that does the bizyon kodshim relates to not burning oil in shul. You don't bring shvias into the bathhouse to anoint yourself with because we're afraid you're going to lose it. You're going to not be responsible about how much oil you use. It's going to go into the water. It's going to get ruined, and you can't be mafsid biadayim. Perot shviyit. However, if you look at the Pei Moshe, he says bizyon kodshim refers to shviyis as well. It is embarrassing. It is not an appropriate way to treat the sanctity of perot shviyit by bringing them into a bathhouse. Unsurprisingly, if you look at source number 28, Rav Kook also thinks that perot shviyit are holy in a certain sense. He talks here about the notion of washing one's hands, netila, before eating shviyit. And although he says that it isn't operative in the same way it was nowadays because it has to do with tuma and tahara, he says, mikol makom yeshomer sa'afa pi she'ein lanu taharot bezman hazeh, mikol makom nekbo kavod kedushat shviyit ein masoch gam ha'shavet Hashem et shviyit ki'im bi'adayim taharot. You should wash your hands even nowadays before you anoint yourself with shviyat oil, because of the kedushat kabod kedushat shviyat. He came shekili da'ayim misuda, v'samu gan kelam mikro shel hit kadashem, ilu ma'ayim mishonim. V'kol shekain shekashar adav l'adun kem b'shem mitzvah shviyat shen nikra kodesh. It's called kodesh. Ha'mekadish ha'atma v'zeh l'kayim alach azu, gam b'zman azeh tavalo abrancha. If you wash your hands before you anoint yourself with shviyat, that's great. You get a blessing. Someone who washes their hands not just for oil but for the peros of shviyat, to eat shviyat fruits. Kulam make vodah kavod kushat shviyat mishem shem kodesh shakara aleihem, because of the holy name declared upon them. Ein zebra b'cha notel yadav peros. Right, there's this halacha that nowadays we don't wash our hands before we eat fruits because it's a certain amount of arrogance, because it's not necessary. It's going, you know, being above and beyond in a way that's inappropriate. It doesn't apply to Shviyat, because Shviyat is Shem Kodesh. So bring this all to a close. This notion of Kedushat Shviyat, I think it's somewhere in the middle, and I think it relates to, you know, the question we asked originally. I think the notion of Kedushat Shviyat is that it accomplishes a holy purpose. That it's not quite Kodesh in the sense that a carbon is, and certainly not Asur in the way that Azona is, but it accomplishes a holy purpose. We are supposed to associate it in it with it in a certain way. And going back to how the psukim relate to this originally, it says work for 6 years, not on the seventh. The point of shviyat is that for 1 year, while generally we are meant to interact with the land, to work with it, to produce, to do things with it, to change the peros the way that we want to use them. Right, that's our role in this world. It's a certain la'avda in that. On Shviyas, we recoil, we retreat. We leave God's world as it is. We don't work it, we don't change things. It's kadosh in the sense that God says, leave it alone this year. This year, the land is mine. It is my land, and you can enjoy it, but it's mine. My peros, my karka. Don't work it. Don't sell the peros. Don't do any of those things. And that accomplishes the religious goal of Shviyat, of remembering that God, it is ultimately, everything is ultimately God's. And we take a break from exerting ownership over this world and over Eretz Yisrael to remind ourselves of that religious goal. Similar to the Machtos, just want the last point, when in the Chumash it says that the Machtos used by Korach and Adato are Kodesh. Kodesh, says the Ramban, they're not Klei Sharis. The Sforno says it's because they brought about a Kiddush Hashem. So sort of to summarize, I think what we see is that all the different mitzvahs of Shviyas all relate to this one idea that on Shviyas, it's God's land. And we take a step back and we don't interfere with it. And I hope that this perspective will help us as we study Shviyat in the future this year. Thank you very much for joining. Join us again on Sunday and have a wonderful week. And I think, Dr. Chin, do you want to mention what we're doing next week? Okay, I don't have it. Next week, I think Dr. Chin is going to start talking about the where of Shviat. Where do you keep Shviat? Where exactly is Eretz Yisrael? Both in terms of nowadays, whether it's still Kadosh, and geographically where the boundaries are. So that will be shared for the next 2 weeks.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Based on